Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are still in the middle of our health and wellness block. We're giving you all of the psychological tools that you need in order to get all of what I consider the basics handled, because you pretty much know what you need to do in order to get healthy. The question is, why doesn't that happen? And so we're going over specifically in this episode exactly why it doesn't happen. Where is it that people get tripped up? Where is it that eating plans and commitments to yourself go awry? What are the little traps? What are the little pitfalls that you can avoid? And what is the mindset that you can build for yourself that will allow you to not only achieve your health and wellness goals as fast as possible, but have it be as fun as possible and have it be an enjoyable thing? Because we've talked about this in previous episodes that I feel like health almost has like a negative stigma sometimes. Like, oh, I got a health plan means, oh God, what am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to cut out? What am I going to have to this, that, and the other? And so we're going to go through and hopefully dispel some myths and give you some more options and some more strategies and some mindset tools so that you can love every single step of the way.
Woo. So the first thing that we want to dive into here is talking about balance. And this is really going to be the basic framework for everything else that we touch on. And again, it's understanding that whomever you are, wherever you are in your life, that your nutrition, fitness, wellness, health plan is going to look different dependent on exactly who you are. So I think the first thing to understand is that you want to create a routine for yourself that makes sense for you, right? Just because your friend's doing a crazy diet fad doesn't mean that you need to do it as well. It's you figuring out what makes sense in order for you to have balance in your own life based off of your lifestyle, your life conditions, and really your own health and wellness goals.
Yeah, I mean, with such a focus on health in like LA, I live in LA, right? So that could be maybe the most superficial city in America. I don't know. But it's like a hotbed of all sorts of crazy diets and people really going to the nth degree to look a certain way, right? And my question is it always what they really want for themselves? What do you really want in your life? What do you really want to feel? What do you really want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be? Now, think about the kind of health that you would really want in order to have all those things. Now, if your pursuit of health ruins those things, is it worth it? Right? Like, I'm going to pick on weight loss again because it's such an easy topic to get to. But if you think like, all right, well, in order to live this life, I really want to lose 50 pounds. But in trying to lose 50 pounds, you make yourself so miserable. You spend so much time focusing in on it that your relationships start to suffer because you're not in a good mood, or you're not hanging out with friends because of this, that, or the other involved with what you're eating or how much you're working out or whatever you're doing, or you're feeling like crap physically so that it bothers your performance at work. Is that really worth it? Sure, you might be losing weight, but what happened to the rest of your life, right? So we want to look at your life as a whole and to really think about, what does your best life actually look like, feel like, sound like, smell like, taste like, everything, right? So we can consider all angles, and that'll really help you choose the plan that's right for you. Because right now there are like, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, 10 billion different diets out there. And there's intuitive eating and different ways to approach that and workouts and all sorts of things that you can do. How are you going to know what's right for you? It's going to be the one that helps you create the most balance in your life.
Love this. You know, perfect example. More recently, I had made the decision as I was working towards competing for a bikini competition that I had committed to, gosh, 9 months ago. And what I started to recognize as I was getting closer and closer to the competition dates was how much it was affecting my mental health and how it was actually affecting my ability to show up in business. And to Dan's point exactly, it got to the point to where competing in that competition and trying to get my physical health to that level was no longer worth it, because it was meaning that it was costing me my ability to show up and serve my clients in a much higher way. And because of that, that was one of the big factors contributing to me deciding not to follow through with it and choosing to create a more sustainable, more ecological, more balanced-based nutrition, health, and wellness plan for myself that allowed me to show up more powerfully for my clients, that allowed me to also be able to achieve the health and the wellness goals, but without the massive sacrifice of my own health and wellness.
So the first trap, right, that would make you give up on whatever wellness plan you've given yourself is falling out of balance, right? Like, Sophie, I mean, could you really have continued that plan? You could have stuck to doing that competition, right?
Oh, I might have dropped dead, but I could have.
See what it would take though, right? You see that response, right? Her life was so out of balance. It's like, yeah, well, I would have to murder myself in order to do it. So of course she bowed out of it. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. Sometimes the best thing for yourself is to edit your wellness plans, but that's, you know, why you give up on it. Another one is when you go into it way too freaking hard. Some people will think, oh, okay, well, I've read a bunch and I've listened to a lot of experts, so I've got to cut out sugar and I've got to cut out bread and pastas and wheat, and then I've got to cut out low-fat foods, and then I've got to cut out prefab foods, like pre-made foods, and then I've got to cut out eating out, and then I've got to, right? All at the same time, and they go for about a week, and then they binge like crazy. Baby step through, right? There is no rush unless you're in a very serious medical condition, and then what are you doing listening to this podcast for advice? Like, go deal with someone, go get a coach or a doctor or someone who could help you immediately. But, you know, when we're talking about just feeling even better, performing even better, take things slowly, because then you'll be able to acclimate really easily. It's like, I've known so many people who just started working out and they'll go from not working out at all to joining a CrossFit class. And then they make it and they, you know, they work out as hard as they possibly can for like 4 days, and then you just won't see them like maybe ever again. Right? Or they'll go to the gym. It's almost like when you're trying to run a marathon and you've never run before. So you decide, okay, today I'm going to run all of the marathon all at once. And then you'll probably never run again. Right? You just know that was awful. That sucked. It was painful. No. But it's a lot easier to say, okay, today I'm going to run half a mile or maybe even a mile. Right? And I'll do that until I can do that comfortably. And then I'll add another mile. And then I'll add another mile. And then I'll add another mile. Same thing. Make small steps. You know, you can ease into things and it'll still be okay. But that way, you know, you'll stick to them without overloading yourself.
Such a big point. Dropping that all or nothing mentality is huge. And being kind to yourself in this process, I think, it's one of the most important things. It's so easy to judge ourselves or to be angry. It's like, oh, I, you know, messed up today. There goes my diet, right? Or I didn't go to the gym today, so now my whole plan is completely done. Be kind to yourself and give yourself room to make mistakes, because you will, and be okay with that and be willing to get back on the horse, right? And dropping that all or nothing mentality, because that's not serving you, right? You want to be kind to yourself, especially if you're newer into the health and wellness world. And maybe this is the first time that you're really exploring what it would look like for you to optimize your health and your wellness. Be kind to yourself and seek counsel in individuals who support the type of lifestyle that you want to create for yourself, so that you can have the proper guidance for that as well.
And as we're doing that, let's talk about habits. Now, there are all sorts of habits that can knock you out of your wellness game. And remember, baby steps. So, you know, we can talk about a couple here. Please just pick one, maybe two, if you're going to do that, and implement them instead of like all of them. Because that's another thing, right? Okay, well, I'll start going to bed even earlier. I'll start drinking double the amount of water. I'll start working out in the morning fasted. I'll start, and then you do it all at the same time, you end up doing nothing. So one of the bad habits that I see that can really screw up your game is rewarding yourself with crappy food. I think this is a bad habit because inside of your mind, whenever you reinforce it, really what you're telling your mind is that this food that is actually slowing you down, making you less physically fit, that might be hurting your emotional health, your mental health, your spiritual health. Listen to the previous episode if you want to know how all these things tie in. But you're telling your unconscious that this is a good thing, that when things go well, we're going to sabotage them by eating complete trash. But also, that also sets up an emotional eating kind of thing. Because if you've associated reward with eating garbage, then when you feel like you need a little pick-me-up, that's where you're going to go. So that's one big habit that a lot of us can change, is starting to reward yourself with really good food, but like quality food that tastes really good, that might be a little bit more expensive than you usually would, right? Like for me, it's going out and getting myself a really good steak, you know, good organic vegetables. Whether or not I cook it for myself, doesn't matter. I'll go out, I'll spend a little bit more and have someone do it for me. That's a treat, but I also know it's healthy, it's good for me. And so that makes me feel really good because I've done something for myself as a reward. Then my body feels really good because I make sure that I get the nutrients it needs. Emotionally, that does wonders because I'm loving myself. Mentally, it does great because I'm giving myself fuel, and that gives me the space to be spiritually in tune. So when you switch your rewards and the habits around them, that's a huge, huge thing.
Huge. And recognizing this, separating your long-term and your short-term goals and understanding the difference. Your health and wellness isn't going to immediately transform after 1 week. You've got to be realistic with yourself and give yourself a realistic time frame and understand that it's about creating a lifestyle transformation, not just a 30-day diet where you're going to go on this crazy fad and then lose all the weight. And then after 30 days, you go back to all of your regular habits. Not sustainable. What you want to do instead is start to plan for the long term and set intermittent short-term goals that lead up to it, which is exactly what Dan's talking about. Maybe the first thing that you work on is on habit number one, right? Drinking more water. And then once you start to get that down, it becomes a consistent part of your routine. You move on to habit number two, which is maybe implementing more veggies in your diet, right? And then you move on to habit number three. And all of this is done over an extended period of time so that, number one, your body has time to acclimate. But more importantly, so you can have little wins along the way and not be beating yourself up if you don't drop the whole 40 pounds in 1 month, which again may not necessarily be healthy. So again, recognize the short-term and the long-term goals and know the difference.
So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so another habit could be really tracking your progress with those goals. And so there are all sorts of different ways to track your goals, right? So if your goal is to burn fat, and that's really what you're talking about by weight loss, then get into the habit of measuring your body fat percentage at a certain time, you know, same time every single day. For example, that would be like right first thing in the morning, every single day. That's a habit, right? Or you're measuring, you know, wellness. Let's open this up, right? So want to improve your spiritual health, then have the habit of meditating and make sure you kind of track it. How many days of the week are you meditating? For how much time? Are you hitting your goals with that? What can you do to tweak it, right? You got to manage your goals and manage your habits with it as well. you're working out, track, write everything down. What are the weights? What are the exercises? What are the number of reps? How did you feel when you were doing it? You could even track your emotional health in the mornings. There are a lot of different diaries and journals that I've seen that have that as part of it. Well, how are you feeling today? What's a dominant emotion that you're feeling today? What was a dominant emotion that you felt over the last 24 hours? That way you can really see the effects of what you're doing, see the change, and then celebrate your wins. People often quit their wellness plans because they don't know what they're doing. They're leaving everything up to memory. And so it gets really confusing, or they don't see these micro changes. And because, like Sophie said, it doesn't happen overnight, they see, oh my God, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and nothing has changed. At least that's how they feel. But when you track it, you can really see that actually you've been making progress, that even if it's slow or even if it's small, that it's happening. And so maybe you want to tweak it or just keep going. But that's another habit that I think is really powerful.
As we start to talk about habits, really, your habits are what start to shape your identity, which is really the powerhouse of transformation at the end of the day. It's who you ultimately believe you are. And I'm sure you've heard the saying that the most painful aspect of any type of human personality is to be incongruent with who you believe you are, right? So having a lifestyle that is not congruent with who you believe you are becomes painful, and that's where self-sabotage kicks in. So creating these micro habits, celebrating these micro wins, and starting to recognize for yourself, wow, I am somebody who works out, right? I am somebody who eats clean, or I am somebody who meditates, or I am this person. You start to see how your identity slowly starts to shift with your incremental habit changes. And again, with that, your entire life transforms.
Remember also that what you do comes from who you are. So you want to make sure that your identity, who you see yourself to be, really lines up with your goals as well. So it goes both ways, right? And you really need to take care of it from both angles. When you see yourself as, let's say, lazy, and that's what you call yourself, well, that's how you think about yourself, and it's going to be very hard to get to the gym. Why? Because you're lazy. Lazy people don't go to the gym. If you think of yourself as fat, it's going to be hard to eat a salad. Why? Because fat people don't eat salads. They eat fried chicken, you know, whatever you think is part of that identity. Or if you think of yourself as emotionally imbalanced, you think of yourself as an anxious person or as an awkward person, then it's going to be very hard for you to install habits into your days that'll prove that belief wrong, right? So in there also comes the identity work. We really have to take a good look. And we also have episodes about identity and how to change your identity earlier on in this podcast, man, within the first 15 episodes. But maybe that's something you need to look at, is how you see yourself. What do you think your identity is? Who do you think you are? And can you change that so it makes your habits, your healthy habits, and your wellness commitments a piece of cake? Or whatever you want it to be, a piece of celery, I don't care. Make it feel good so that it's easy, right? And lines up.
I love that. a piece of celery. fun fact, guys, celery is supposed to be amazing for you. Just in case you didn't know, I recently discovered this. Anywho, exactly what Dan's talking about. It's shifting that identity is probably one of the most powerful things that you can do in really being able to sustain and maintain any type of wellness transformation and change. And with that being said, it's recognizing that that identity already exists within you now. And it's not you waiting to start until next week or next month or whenever it is, or the new year, but it's choosing to start to make those incremental changes today as much as you possibly can. Again, being kind to yourself in that process, and integrating the concepts that we've been talking with you up until this point.
Yeah, this whole I'm going to start on Monday thing has to go. That should be illegal, because it's amazing. I used to do this shit to myself too. How many times have you said, yeah, I'll start this new diet on Monday? versus how many times you actually did. That's really just an excuse. And I'm a big fan of just being honest with ourselves. You can lie to other people, but be honest with yourself. If you tell yourself, yeah, you know, I'm going to start this on Monday, say, fuck it, I'm not going to start at all. Because at least you're right. Because then you won't hit Monday and then ditch and then you'll feel bad about it. Because I'm going to put a wager that over 50% of the times that people say I'm going to start on Monday, they don't. Right? Because really all they're doing is they're delaying it. They're saying, oh, I'm not ready. I can't handle that. Or like some sort of broken belief that you don't have the identity that is required in order to be well, you know, be healthy, which is ridiculous. You obviously have it within you. The choice really here is, are you willing to set up a bad habit of delaying the things that you really want and would make your life even better? Are you okay with saying, I'm not going to live my best life right now? I don't want to live at my highest potential. I don't want to be as happy as I can be. I don't want to be as healthy as I can be. I'm going to wait for all of that stuff until some sort of time in the future where hopefully the stars will align and I'll feel okay with starting it now. Right? Because every single time you push it off, that's what you're saying. I know you might not want to say that. I know you're probably getting defensive about it right now, you know, because I came at you pretty hard, but that's what it is. Let's all be honest with each other, right? With ourselves. If you're not ready, say you're not ready, identify why you're not ready, and then do something about it so that you can be ready, right? And if you are ready, just do it. Start today. If it's not today because it's in the middle of the day, start tomorrow and then just commit, right? That way, you really show to yourself, you express to yourself unconsciously, I am ready to commit to myself. I'm worth it. I know I'm worth it. I'm determined to do these things for myself. My health and my wellness is important to me. My happiness, the way I feel, is important to me. And I will live an even better life, and I'll make my life an even better time, you know, an even healthier way. And I'm going to get even better at every single thing that I do as a result of this. And I want that, and I'm going to do it. The more times you do that for yourself, the longer you stay in that kind of commitment and that habit, the more you'll find other obstacles melt away in front of you. This is a much bigger thing than just a diet or a workout plan, guys. This is how you see yourself and how you see life and whether you're ready to set things up for yourself so that you can remove obstacles instead of giving into them.
I'm just going to drop the mic real quick. And exactly what Dan's talking about. And I think one of the things that oftentimes comes up for people when they're starting to make these decisions is oftentimes life shows up. And there's these things called triggers that we start to experience, right? Where sometimes we'll have something that maybe, you know, it's a breakup or it was a really hard day at work or something shows up that triggers us emotionally. And as you guys, I'm sure, remember from previous episodes, when you're operating from an emotional state, you're oftentimes not nearly as rational as you would be. So becoming aware of your emotional triggers is huge and being able to actually look at, okay, what actually triggers me to go and take whatever you want to consider I don't want to say a bad habit, but more so a habit that's not in alignment with the goal that you want to have, right? And really starting to look at where those emotional triggers are coming from so that you can, number one, understand them, but more importantly, start to actually heal, reframe, and rewire those so that they can actually start to reposition you into moving in a direction that is more self-sustaining rather than self-sabotaging.
Yeah, we have so much stuff in this podcast series about like emotions and emotional triggers and what they can do. So I'll just defer to those episodes because we do get a lot more in depth. But yeah, like Sophie said, you got to get your head straight, right? And have emotional balance and inner peace so that you don't feel like you need a crutch. You don't need to eat in order to change your state. You don't need to drink large amounts of alcohol to get rid of your anxiety. You don't need to smoke marijuana to clear your mind, right? So that you can just be at peace and allow yourself to focus on improving the quality of your life rather than just getting rid of the negatives. And that also goes into the whole idea of the comfort zone, right? The whole idea of whether you're allowing yourself to play small because of either emotions or fears or just the unknown of what's outside of your comfort zone. If you've eaten a certain way your entire life, I get this from a lot of people. Oh, you know, I'm Italian. I've eaten pasta my entire life and bread my entire life. So I can't possibly give up the carbs that have made me 80 pounds overweight and might give me a stroke. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a comfort zone. That's a comfort zone of all comfort zones. To say that, like, I can't change my diet. I can't give up sugar. Can't give up sugar. People look at me, they say, like, oh, yeah, because I'm on a ketogenic diet right now. Oh, you're giving up carbs. Oh, I couldn't do that. Why? Why can't you do that? Who says you can't do that? No, you say you can't do that because that's what you're comfortable in. So then you have to really take a good inventory of what do you want in your life? Are you getting it right now? Are your health and wellness plans helping you succeed even more, develop even better relationships, earn even more, feel even better, love the way you look even more, or not? Because if what you're doing right now isn't working and you're sticking to what you're doing for some reason, that's your comfort zone. You got to break out of that shit, right? And there's a lot of work that you can do. Again, get a coach, get into a program, do whatever you can. Push yourself over the edge and out of that comfort zone so that you can experience things you've never experienced before and get into a place where it's not about eating the food that makes you comfortable in terms of nostalgia or comfort food or helping you feel emotionally better. It's eating the foods that make you feel capable and confident and self-loving and resilient and peaceful, right? It's having the habits, whether it's yoga or working out or running or whatever, that makes you feel incredible and helps you wake up in the morning feeling energetic and on top of it, that help you think clearly. And if you have to change all of your habits so that you can have everything you want in your life and it makes you a little uncomfortable because you're changing things bit by bit, one habit, one after another, you're changing your foods one after another, and so be it. But you got to get out of your comfort zone or else you'll consistently get what you've always gotten.
So good. Here's, you know, I'm not going to go too in depth on this because we've got a whole episode dedicated to it. But if you're finding that you continue to self-sabotage, that you continue to come back to these old patterns, these old behaviors, and there's just a lack of consistency for yourself and sticking with your changes or your transformation, consider this idea of secondary gain. In the sense that there is the possibility that some part of you in some way, as crazy as it sounds, may be benefiting from keeping, maintaining, or sustaining the current behaviors and our lifestyle that you currently have. And for whatever reason, that part of you may not necessarily fully see the reason for wanting to change it. And so it's wanting to, again, keep you safe. Now, we're not going to go crazy in depth into this on this episode because, like I mentioned, there's an entire episode dedicated to secondary gain. I believe it's probably one of the first 10 or 15 that we created for you guys. So if you are experiencing that, I would encourage to go back to the previous episodes, tune into that episode, and really, really explore what's showing up for you there. If there is that possibility that maybe there is that part of you.
So there's a lot of different traps, pitfalls, mistakes that we just threw out your way. These are the most common ones that we've seen that can knock you off your wellness plans, no matter how good or appropriate or well thought out they are, right? So your task for this episode is to, if you need to review it, review it. Think back on all these different things that we've presented to you and see which ones apply the most to you. Right? Which ones of these issues have thrown you off your wellness game in the past? And then come up with some action steps already so that you can overcome them in the future, whether you're already in a wellness plan of some sort, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, or you're thinking of starting one, or maybe you just ditched one and you're kind of in the in-between phase, think about where you've fallen off your plans in the past. Come up with action steps so you can overcome them. And that way, when it is time to get into it, and remember, you're not going to wait for Monday, right? That you're going to do it now, that you'll be really prepared to make the most out of your wellness plans and start improving your life right now.
And on that note, y'all, we will see you on the next episode.
See ya.